The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Truma. And here the Torah commands us that we should take Truma me'eis kol ish, take contributions from every individual, and the Torah describes what the contribution should be. And with all of these materials, ve'osali migdush v'shochanti b'seichon, that you shall make for me a migdush, a sanctuary, v'shochanti b'seichon, in order that I may dwell amongst you. So this is the mitzvah, I say, the positive commandment of building a beis hamigdush, building the sanctuary, the temple, which was during the 40 years in the desert, it was known as the Mishkan, and it was moved from one place to the other. When Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, it became more of a permanent feature, and it went from one place to another, but it stayed many, many years in each place until finally it came to its goal, which was Yerushalayim. And there it became, and there it was made much larger, and it became the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary. And here the Torah, in the next few sedras, goes into great length to describe all of the different parts of the Mishkan and the vessels and so forth, how they should be made. One of the main kelim, one of the main objects of the Beis HaMikdash is brought in our parsha Perichov Zayin Aleph, right at Shishi, V'asisu asamizbeach atzei shitim, that you shall make an altar out of a wood which was known as shitim wood. This is a type of cedar. And then the Torah tells us, chomesh ames erich v'chomesh ames rechav, it should be 5 ames long and 5 ames wide. It shall be square, ushleish amas kamaisai, and 3 amas high, vitsipisai se nechoshes, and then it should be overlaid with copper. And the Torah goes into detail. Now the mizbeach, this mizbeach, the altar, is one of the most important objects that was in the Beis HaMikdash, because Rambam brings in the beginning of Sefer Aveda, Hilchus Beis HaBechira, Mitzvah's essay, La'aseis Bayis Lashem. It's a positive commandment that we shall make a house for Hashem. And he brings two reasons for this. One is Muchen Liyais Makrivin Bayakrobonis, for the purpose of bringing sacrifices. And then a second reason, V'cheging in Elov Shleish Pomim B'shono, and a place that we should come 3 times during the year for the Chag, for the festivals, on Pesach and on Shavuos and on Sukkot, was a positive commandment, a mitzvah asay, where all of the people would go up to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. So he brings two reasons, and the first reason is in order that it shall be a place that we can bring korbanos, sacrifices. And sacrifices were on this Mizbeach. This Mizbeach we're speaking about is the Mizbeach Achitzah, actually two altars, one in the Bayis and one in the Chotzer. The Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan had an enclosed area which was known as the Bayis, and then it had an open courtyard which was known as the Chotzer or the Azorah. We're referring here to the Mizbeach HaChitza in the outer altar, and it's also referred to as the Mizbeach HaNecheshes, the copper altar, as it was overlaid with copper. It was also referred to as the Mizbeach HaDoma, the Mizbeach which was made of earth, as we'll see later on. At any rate, the majority of all of the sacrifices were brought to this altar. And since the first of the two purposes that the Beis HaMikdash was built for was for korbanos, was for sacrifices, so from here we see the prominence and the importance of this Mizbeach, of this altar, of this vessel, which was in the Mishkan. Now we don't have the Mishkan today, and we don't have the Mizbeach today, and therefore we don't have sacrifices today. But at any rate, let's study this evening, because there are a great deal of things that we can learn even for our lives here today in the Golus HaShechina, when the Shechina is exiled from Eretz Yisrael and we do not have our Beis HaMikdash. Firstly, the Torah says that it should be made out of Atzei Shittim, this type of wood. Now we find that the majority, or just about all of, I believe all of the objects in the base of, in the Mishkan, including the sanctuary, which was made of wood, was made of this type of wood. This was the wood most prominently used. And there are reasons why, and even though many of these reasons are given for some of the other objects of the Mishkan, but perhaps these reasons would apply here also. So let's speak of some of them. Firstly, we find by the Oren HaKodesh. That was right in the beginning. The Oren was the first keli, the first vessel that we were commanded to make, and that what was known as the Ark. Incidentally, our shuls today are designed after the Mishkan, as a remembrance. And just like in the Beis HaMikdash, in the innermost part was the Ark, the Oren. The Oren held the Luchai Sabris, the tablets, and it also held the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote. So that's why in a shul, in the front, we have also what we call an Oren, which holds the Sefer Torah. And just like in the courtyard, in the center of the courtyard, there was the Mizbeach. This is brought, the reason why we have a bima in the center of the shul. Now, by the Oren, it states there that it should also be made of Atzei Shittim, of this type of wood. And it should be overlaid with pure gold, both on the outside and on the inside. It should be overlaid with gold both on the outside and on the inside. Here by the altar, it just states it should be overlaid, not with gold, with copper, and just overlaid on the top. Doesn't say inside. But the Oren was totally covered with gold. So the question is asked, if it's totally covered with gold from the outside and the inside, so what did it have to be wood for? So on that, the Maral in his Gurai here brings from the Medrash Rambo that the reason why it had to be wood, even though it was important that it should be gold, is because wood, the Chazal tell us, is the symbol of wood comes from a tree. And a tree is a symbol of something which is alive and something which is strong. The strongest of all plants, of all vegetation, is the tree. There is no stronger vegetation than the tree. So the tree is the symbol of strength. And also it's the symbol of life. Like we say, Eitz Chaim hi. And since the Torah is referred to as an Eitz Chaim, a tree of life, why is it life? Because it grows, it's Lebedek, it's alive. Gold, in all due respect to gold, and even though it's from the most beautiful metals, yes, and the Medrash speaks about it. Medrash says gold is a special gift to the world, but it's not alive. See, it's a mineral deposit. But a tree is alive. Not only is a tree alive, but we find that the lifespan of a tree is enormous. A tree lives much longer than a human being. And there are trees that scientists say might be 1,000 years old or more. So a tree is the strongest of all plant life, and also perhaps lives the longest. And since the Torah represents something which is alive, because it is mekusher, it is bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it is bound to the source of life. What is something that's alive? Something that is bound to a source of life. And it's the source of strength. And this is the Torah. So therefore, we were commanded to make the Oren out of wood, even though it's covered with gold. So perhaps that reason would apply here also. In all of the various instances that we see that the Mishkan was made from this Atzei Shittim, from this wood. A second reason is because this Atzei Shittim was an enormously beautiful wood. Chazal tell us it was a cedar, and the most beautiful of all of the cedars. It brings in the Medrash in Parshas Truma, Lamed Dalet Aleph. Excuse me, it's Lamed Hey Aleph. Harbe Briyas Boru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'Elomai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many beautiful creations. Ve'lo Hoya HaOlam Ra'i Lishtamash Behen. And the world was not befitting for it. The world did not deserve some of the beautiful creations which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Ve'gonzen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Min Ha'Elom. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed them. He didn't give them to the world. Ve'ezeh, an example. Or Shinivar Biyem Rishon, the light which he created on the first day was so clear and so beautiful and so pure. Odim Tseifu Mabid Miseifa Elam Atseifa, that a person with this light was able to see from one end of the world to the other. Kivin Shinistachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'deiri Shalene Shemedor HaMabel B'dor HaFlogo Shemaseh Mekukolim Omar B'gonzu Mehen. Since he saw, though, that the world was going to become filled with Rishoyim, evil people, and he did not want evil people to benefit from this beautiful light, so he concealed the light. And he took this light, and he concealed it for the righteous in the world to come. And that's what states by Yare Lekimus Ha'or Kitov, Kodesh Baruch Hu saw this light that it was so good. So this is an example of something which he created which the world did not deserve, and he held back on it. Then the Medrash tells us V'har be'briyas bora HaKodesh Baruch Hu ba'ilam V'lo ha'ya'ilam ra'i lishtamish behem V'hayiruin ligonis. There are also many creations which Hashem made, and the world didn't deserve them. They were too beautiful, and he should have concealed them. But he did not conceal them because of his honor. The world needed it, needed these for Hashem's honor. An example, Zohav, gold. Rabbi Bovo said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave gold to the world, this was a special gift. Really, they were not deserving of it. They were not deserving of it. And it states Vizav Oratzahi Tov. Tov is a very special word in the Torah. And it says the gold of the land was very good. It uses the word Tov on gold. So gold has an intrinsic value. See, many, that's a question amongst people, if gold has an intrinsic value, or its only value is because there happens to be demand for it. But if there wouldn't be any demand, then it would lose its value. Now, the Medrash tells us that gold has an intrinsic value. And it shouldn't have been given to the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the world for his honor, because it had to be used in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, in the sanctuary. The world did not deserve to use it. Why was it created? Bishvil HaMishkan uBishvil HaBeis HaMikdash. Because of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Then it brings, there are seven different types of golds in the Beis HaMikdash, one better than the other. Then the Medrash says further, V'achal ha'rozim ho'yeruin ligonis. The cedar wood also should have been concealed. The world was not deserving. V'lei nignusu, but Hashem did not conceal it. Omer v'chanina la'ayelam ra'i lishtamish ba'rozim, ela le'nivar ela bishvil ha'mishkon. It was created it was given to the world for the purpose of the sanctuary. And then the Gemara brings Chof Dalet, the Medrash brings Chof Dalet Mini Arozim Heim. There are 24 different types of cedar wood. Be'einloch Meshubach Mikulin Lelazain. And there are seven which are the best. And the first one which is mentioned of the seven best is the Shita. Etain Bamidbo Eres Shita. That's the Shittim wood which was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Why didn't Hashem conceal it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it would be needed for the Mishkan where he will dwell. Therefore, he did not withhold it from the world. So that here we see a second reason why it was made from Atzei Shittim, because this is from the finest wood which is created. And we see this, but we see that these materials are a level higher than this world. In other words, the world at its own level was not deserving, and it should not have been brought into the world. But for the purpose of the sanctuary they were, because at the level of the sanctuary it was usable, it was deserving. So this is the second reason. The third reason brought in the Medrash also. The Medrash tells us also in Perek, it should be Lamed Dalet, Perek Lamed Dalet, Os Beis. This is a very interesting reason. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command that the Mishkan basically was made from this wood, the Kroshim. And I said, well, the boards which created the structure of the Mishkan was from this Atzei Shittim. So the Medrash asks, why did Hashem choose this wood? Lomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Derech Eretz L'Deiris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach Derech Eretz, wanted to teach good conduct to the generations. Shimivakish Adam Livnei's Beisei Me'ilon. If a man wants to build his house from a tree, Eseperis, a tree which gives fruit, Eimalei, so we will be able to say to him, Uma Melech Malchei Amalochim Shakol Shelei. The Almighty, who is the King of all kings, and the entire world belongs to Him. And when He said, "Build me a house for myself," He specified it should be a tree which does not give fruit, because Leisashkis, He didn't want to destroy a fruit tree even for His house. So how do you dare take a fruit tree for your house? Atem al achas kama v'kama, how much more so? So the Medrash says another reason. Besides the fact that the Atzei Shittim, this wood, was such a special wood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted dafke, specifically a tree which did not give fruit, because the Almighty doesn't like unnecessary destruction. And if you can build a house from tree which does not give fruit, then you must not destroy a fruit tree. You must not destroy anything unnecessarily. You have a right to utilize things, but not to destroy things. And to destroy something unnecessarily, that's not the utilization of resources, that's the destruction of resources, like we find in our world today. We gave a long share on this on ecology not long ago. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lamda Derech Eretz, He did this to teach Derech Eretz, to teach conduct to the coming generations. That if the Almighty Himself, who owns the entire world, when it came to build His house, He said, build it with a tree that does not give fruit, you know, in order to teach people how they should value the resources which were given to the world and not destroy them unnecessarily. So here we have three reasons why Atzei Shittim. Then the Torah tells us, V'tzipisa yisei nechoshes. It should be covered with copper. Rashi explains why copper. So Rashi says, thank you. Lechaper al Aziz Metzach. This should be a kapora, an atonement for arrogance. Shenemar umetzchoch umetzchocho necheshes. That his forehead was kapur, nachusha, was kapur. Kapur is always the symbol of arrogance. And arrogance is always referred to as azeis metzach, the arrogance of the forehead. Why is this? Arrogance is the quality where the person refuses to submit himself. He refuses to bow. When you bow, so this means you recognize an authority higher than you. You recognize a shortcoming in yourself and that someone or something is above you. So you bow. You bow your forehead. To stand upright in all circumstances and refusing to bow your head. So this is a recognition that I do not humble myself before anyone. And that's why arrogance is always referred to as the forehead. See, refusing to bow one's forehead, refusing to submit, to give in to someone else. This is the quality of arrogance. And the Chazal, the sages, always refer to this as the quality of Nechesh's kapur. Because kapur is known as the fiercest of all of the metals. Kapur can withstand almost anything. This is why before plastics were invented, so kapur is the metal that was always used when it had to be under very severe conditions, underwater, and so forth and so on. Because it's a metal which does not react. It withstands everything. See, it's fierce, it rejects. And that's good by copper, but that's not good by a human being. See, a human being is supposed to be strong, but sometimes he has to react. Sometimes he has to be influenced. Sometimes he has to bow. So, to be arrogant is a great aveira. Therefore, the Mizbeach, the altar was covered with copper in order to bring an atonement for Aziz Metzach, for arrogance. And why Dafke the Mizbeach? Why right here do we find this? So, and this is a very good reason. As we mentioned, the altar was the place where we brought the korbonos, the sacrifices. The whole concept of sacrifices was that one should realize that there's a creator above him. Why did we bring sacrifices? What did it mean to bring them? We would take an animal and we would slaughter it and give it to Hashem. We would put it on the altar. It would be burned and it would say, Reach Necheach Ilal Hashem. And its scent would rise to Hashem. So what was happening? We were returning it to Hashem. We're taking something and returning it to its source. Once a person realizes that there's a source, then that's humility immediately. He realizes that there's a source for himself. There's a master over the world. This immediately is humility. And the place for this was the Mizbeach, the altar, because here is where the korbanos came. And what did this have to do with the person? This had to do with the animal. Why the person? The halacha is, the law is, that the animal had to belong to the person. When he brought a korban, it had to be, he had to be by him. He had to own it. So in other words, what was he doing? He was giving of his possessions back to Hashem. You know, a man's possessions are a part of himself. So in this way, it's as if he was giving a part of himself to Hashem, because he was giving not strange possessions, but his possessions back to their source. And this is why Korban was called Korban from the word Korab, which means to come close. Whenever a person comes close to his, goes to its source, he's coming closer to Hashem. So this was the purpose of the Korbones. He had to give of his possessions back to Hashem, and it was on the altar. So this was the place of humility, of the opposite, just the opposite of Asis Metzach, of arrogance, where a person stands straight all of the time. This was the place of bowing. So therefore the altar was a kapora, an atonement for this arrogance. In general, this is the reason why in the Beis HaMikdosh the most important direction was always the west. You came in from the east and you walked towards the west. And the more west you went, the more sanctified the ground became. Until finally you came into the Kodesh, and then you came into the Kodesh Kodoshim, and you came to where the Oren was. Now why from east to west? The east is where the sun rises. The strength of the sun is in the east. As it states, Kitzeis HaShemesh B'Gvurasei. You see the strength of the sun in the east. What do you see in the west? In the west you see the setting of the sun, the demise of the sun. Now what does that mean? The sun returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara tells us that in the west, what happens? The sun goes over the horizon. What is it doing? It's saying it's bowing. It's going over the horizon, it's bowing, ki abdo kami mori, like a servant before its master. It's very interesting. In the morning, the sun starts to, is like a person who's standing up. And he comes out with a strength, and he starts to reveal his strength, stronger and stronger and stronger. This is the east. The west is just the opposite. The sun loses its strength. It starts to bow. So as far as the sun is concerned, it's a weakness in the sun. This is why all of the nations of the world, they always worshipped to the east. Of the idolaters, the greatest of the idolaters were the sun worshippers. Why? Because they would worship, they would look for the greatest physical forces in the world. And the greatest physical force in the world is the sun. So these were the sun worshippers. Actually, Edom, which was the son of Esav, Edom, which was Esav, and Rome, which the Chazal tell us is the greatest empire that the Goyim will have, their symbol was Edom. Their symbol was the sun, the redness of the sun. Because the sun was the greatest physical force of the world. If you're going to worship the greatest physical force of the world, so where do you turn? To the west or to the east? The west, you see the weakness of the sun, not the strength of the sun. Therefore, they always worshipped east. By Klal Yisrael, it was just the opposite. We worshipped west. The Beis HaMikdash went from east to west. Why? Because there, we see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that even the sun, which is the greatest of all of his shluchim, of all of his servants, but returns to him, bows to him. That's why by the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Sukkah, by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they used to turn their backs to the east, and they would say, Avoseinu, our forefathers, who are idolaters, used to turn to the east. We turn our backs on the east. The Onel Hashem, we look towards Hashem. And the altar, which was the central point of this avoda, this is the serving of Hashem. Serving of Hashem is the bowing to Hashem with its korbonos. So therefore, it was just contrary to the Asus Metzach, to the arrogance. Therefore, it was covered with kapar as a remembrance to people that we must not be like kapar. But we have to stand straight, but there's a time we must bow also. Therefore, it was Lechaper al-Azish Metzach. At the end of Parshas Yisro, There the Torah tells us, this is in Shmei Chof, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Mizbach Adom Atasali. You shall make an altar of earth. And you shall bring your sacrifices there. Now, what altar was this? An altar of earth. But meanwhile, here we're saying that it should be made out of wood and covered with copper. So Rashi tells us, Mechuber ba'adoma shalayivnenu al gabi amudim or al gabi kipim. This is the same altar. We're talking about the same altar. But when it was placed in the court, it must be placed right on the earth. There must not be anything separating it. You should not make some type of artificial stand for it. But it must be placed right on the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the altar to be placed on the earth. A second reason, Shoyimamales Chol Mizbeach Anacheshes Adoma Bishas Chaniyosom. The altar was hollow, so they would fill the hollow with dirt, with earth, when they would camp. When it would be stationary, then they would fill the hollow with earth. So the altar had to be earth. Now, in the beginning of the Sefer Torah, in Parshas Bereishis, in Bereishis Beis, Posuk Zayin, right at the beginning of the creation of man, the Torah tells us, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofra min ha'adama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, earth, dust from the earth, Vayipach Bapav Nishmas Chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul, Vayodam L'nefesh Chaim, and man became alive. So we see man was created from the dust of the earth. Now, what dust did he use? Where did Hashem create man from? It's a good question. Where did he create man from? He took dust from the earth. Which dust did he take? So Rashi brings from the Chazal two interpretations. Tzova afore mikola adoma miyaberuchas shebechol mokum shiomei shomtei koltosei likfura. One explanation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all of the dust in the world. He took dust from the entire world. And from that he created man. Why? Because when man dies, so it says, Elo offer Yoshuv, he shall return to the dust because he was taken from the dust. So he has to return to the same dust he was taken from. If he was created from the dust of Johannesburg or from the dust of New York and he died in a different place, so then how can he go back to the same dust? So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the dust of the entire world, grains, little grains from all of the world, and from there he created man. So wherever man will be when he dies, he could return to the dust. The earth will accept him because he was taken from there. That's the first explanation of where man was created from. Then there's a second explanation. He was taken from the same dust as from where the altar was made from. Now here we're referring to when eventually the sanctuary came to Yerushalayim and it was made into the Mikdash. And there was a special place for the altar. And that altar had to be made from the earth, or had to be joined with the earth, like we said. It was from that earth that man was created from. As it states, Mizbach Adoma Ta'aseli. Why was he made from that earth? Halavai Teile Kapor V'Yuchol Amed. Because the altar, the Mizbeach, gave atonement. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw man will need atonement in this world. Man ain't sarik boros ashiyase tevele yechto. Everybody does chatoim, everybody does sins. So man is going to need atonement in this world. So therefore Hashem said, if I'll create him from the place where the Mizbeach will be made from, Then he'll have atonement, he'll have kapora. And he'll yuchalama it, he will be able to stand in this world. So we have two explanations. Either he was created from all of the dust of the world, so wherever he'll die, he'll be able to return to that spot. Or he was created from the dust, the same place where the altar in the Beis HaMikdash was made from. Mizbach Adoma Tasevi, you shall make a Mizbeach from earth. Because this altar that we're speaking about, besides being made from wood and copper, there was earth. Why? Because he'll need atonement in this world. And the Mizbeach, the altar, is atonement. So from here he'll have an atonement, v'yuchalamed, and he'll be able to last. This is what the Rashi brings from the Medrash. The Maral in his Guraya and Parshas Bereishis asks two questions. He says, according to the second interpretation, that man was created from the dust where the altar was created from. So then how will he have burial? That's Yerushalayim. If he dies in Tel Aviv, or if he dies in New York, so how's he going to be buried there? The earth won't receive him well, because it's a foreign dust, it's an alien dust. That's what, according to the first pshat, the only way he can really have a real kfura where the earth will not reject him is if he goes back to the same material that he himself was made from. So that's why Hashem made him from all of the dust in the world. But according to the second pshat, so it'll come out that he was made from the dust of Yerushalayim, where in the Beis HaMikdash Harabais. So what happens if he dies in another place? So how will the earth be able to receive it? That's one question he asks. The second question he asks, what does it mean that he was made from the earth where the altar was created from in order to have a kapora? To have a kapora, you have to be more than made from the dust. To have a kapora, there's all kind of gemaras, mesechtes, on how a person can do atonement. Mesechta Yuma. He must bring korbanos, sacrifices. He must do tshuva. So merely being made from the dust, which the altar was made from, why will that give him kapora? See, why will that give him atonement? These are the two questions, very good questions. See, he answers by telling us some wonderful things. And he says like this, you must understand. The Chazal tell us that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. And Yerushalayim is the center of Eretz Yisrael. And the Beis HaMikdash is the center of Yerushalayim. When we say center, firstly we mean center of the Yishuv. It's the center of the civilized world. But also when we mean center, he writes in another place, it doesn't mean that if we'll take measure exactly, might come and won't be center. It means it's the heart. He says, just like we say in a person has a navel, that's the center. If you measure him, you might not find it's exactly the center. See. But it means that's your central point. And actually, Yerushalayim is called Tibure Shalayim. Chazal called Yerushalayim the navel of the world. There's a reason for that. I mentioned it before. What is the reason for that? What is so important about a person's navel? Because at the navel he was joined to his mother. The world is also joined. The world is joined to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world is joined to upper worlds. And the Chazal say it's joined at Yerushalayim. The joining point is Yerushalayim. That's why that's called the navel. Tibur Yerushalayim. At any rate, so it's the center. And the center of Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim, and the center of the Yerushalayim is Beis HaMikdash. What is the center of the Beis HaMikdash? And this he writes, that's the Mokam HaMizbeach, the place of the Mizbeach. Place where the Mizbeach is, that's the center of the Beis HaMikdash. So it comes out that this is the center of the entire Yeshiva Oretz, of the entire civilized world. It's for that reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaSheichet B'Tzion, he dwells there. Why did he choose that place to dwell? Because that's the center of the world. What is so important about the center of the world? Because the center is always perfect. When you start moving away from center, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, then you start to lose a perfect situation. And the further you move, then the more extreme it becomes. And we find in many, many sources that when it comes to perfection, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is perfect, it's perfect balance, that center. This is what we mentioned in the Shir not long ago. That Torah has a lot of identification with threes. Because three represents something which is perfect balance, one to the right and one to the left, and the third joins the two together. And Torah is called Yosher. Yosher means straight. When you start going off to the right or off to the left, or too high or too low, you're not going straight anymore. Straight means straight. Actually, we find the same thing in Zman and time. That the most perfect times are when the day and the night are exactly even. This is the most perfect time, seasons of the year. And it's those seasons when Pesach and Sukkot come out. And so forth. This we've gone into before. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the exact center. And that's where he chooses to put his Beis HaMikdash, because Kedusha, sanctity, and perfection has to do with the exact center. This is why we find that when you go too far to the extreme, you find people don't even live there anymore in the world. You go too far north, population becomes very sparse. Too far south, also. The Yishuv is in the middle. Now, it comes out now that the dust, the earth, which is by the Mizbeach, the altar, this is the foundation of the entire world. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu built the world, he built it from the center. Okay? You don't start from the side, you start from the center. So this is the foundation of the entire world. And it's as if that all of the earth came from it. So therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose dust from a different place, then he would have to take dust from the entire world and create man, if man was going to be able to return to the earth at any place that he might be. But if he's choosing the dust from the altar, which is the center of the world, so this is the foundation of the world, and from here all of the rest of the earth came. So therefore, no matter where he is, he will identify with that earth. That's one point. A second point is that all of the earth can identify with that type of earth. Because one extreme cannot identify with another extreme. But all of the other earth can identify with the center. Because the center encompasses everything. See, the center is the perfect balance of everything. So all of the other earth can identify with it. So this answers the first question that we asked. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man from the earth of the altar, so then how will he find burial wherever he dies? The answer is that earth is the foundation of all of the earth, and that earth is identifiable to all of the earth, because that's the perfect balanced earth. That answers the first question. Now we have a second question. And that is, what does it mean that man was created from the altar, from the place of the altar, in order that he should have a kapora? Merely being created from that earth, does that give him a kapora? What about tshuva, he has to do repentance. What about sacrifices? So this he answers also. He says, since this is the perfection, this earth is perfect. It's the perfect physical earth. And it doesn't go to the right or to the left. This means man is created with a perfect foundation. If he's created with a perfect foundation, so firstly now he'll be far from hate, he'll be far from sin. Because what is hate? This is very important. Hate is when a person goes off balance. If a person goes a little too far to the right, or a little too far to the left, or a little too high, or a little too low, that's hate. If he stays in perfect center, then he won't be hate, then there won't be hate. Torah is called Hero. Gives a person instruction how to walk. And Torah is called Yosher, straight. So if he walks straight, he's in the path of the Torah. Hate sin is when he deviates. When he deviates to one of the extremes. So first of all, actually the Rishayim say, the Chinuch writes, he says this is the same thing when it comes to physical health of a person. He says, all sicknesses are caused by some type of imbalance in the system. When the system is perfectly balanced, mamutza, he said, then there's no disease. Disease is caused by an imbalance. And this is the same thing spiritually. Spiritual diseases are caused by an imbalance, not balance. Torah is perfect balance. So therefore, if a person is made from this earth, he's given a physical structure of perfect balance. So firstly, now by nature, he'll be far from sin. If he was made from a different earth, then he would be close to an extreme. Secondly, now when he'll sin, it will be much easier for him to come back to balance. If a person comes from center and he goes off to an extreme, it's easier for him to return to where he came from, rather than if a person was created from some extreme to begin with. So that's what is meant, that he was made from the Ofara, he was made from the earth where the Mizbeach was created from, because that's that special earth. Kidei Shetele Kapora, in order that it'll be a Kapora, which means that it'll be difficult for him to sin in the first place, and if he does, it'll be easier for him, Kal Loshuv, to return. And Halavai Sheyuchalamed, and this will give him strength to stand up in this world. Now, in according to what we're saying, now we understand what the Rambam writes. Very clearly, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Beis, the Rambam says, HaMizbeach Mekeimei Mechuvin B'Yesher. The altar, its place is very, very exact. And we must never change the place of the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar Zeh Mizbeach La'el L'Yisrael. Why is it so exact? Why is it so important? So he writes, firstly, this is where Yitzchok was bound to be sacrificed. El Eretz HaMoriah, when Avraham went to Har HaMoriah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to bind up Yitzchok and to sacrifice him. It was in this place where the Mizbeach, where the altar would eventually be constructed. Secondly, Meseris B'Yad HaKol Sha'am Mokim Shebonu by David Ushleim HaMizbeach Hu HaMokim Shebonu by Avraham HaMizbeach V'Okarov Yitzchok. He says, we have by tradition that were King David and King Solomon, where they built the altar in the Beis HaMikdosh, that was the place where Avraham took and bound Yitzchok. We also have by tradition that it was in this place that Noach made sacrifices when he came out of the Teva, when he came out of the Ark after the flood. We also have by tradition that this was the same place where Cain and Hevel, the first two children of Adam and Chava, where they built their altar to bring sacrifices to Hashem. We also have by tradition, Behikri Vadamarishin Korban Kishin Nivra, that when Adam HaRishon, the first man, was created, he also built an altar and sacrificed to Hashem. It was on this place. And then the Rambam says, and even more so, he says, Kishen Nivro Mishom Nivro. And when the Adam was created, he was created from this place. Omru Hachomim, Adam Mimokam Kaporosai Nivro. The Chachamim said that man was created from the place which will bring him Kapur. So therefore, the place of the altar, as we see, is very important. And when the Torah tells us, Mizbach Adoma, you shall make an altar of earth, so it's also referring to from the same earth where man was created from. Also in Parshas Yisro, it states, following the pasuk we just read in Pasuk Chof Beis, V'mizbach Avonim Ta'aseli. That you're also permitted in the Beis HaMikdosh to make the altar out of stone. See, also permitted to make it out of stone when you come to the Beis HaMikdosh, when you come to the final place of the sanctuary. But if you make it out of stone, then do not make it out of cut stone. Because if you'll take a sword and you'll use it on the stones of my altar, then you will profane the altar. You will desecrate the altar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want there should be cut stones. He did not want any stones in the altar that a sword or a knife or any metal was used for. Rashi brings the drosha. He brings it as actually a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Perek Gimel of Masechet Midos. The Mishnah tells us Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet. Echor Avnei HaKeves ve'echor Avnei HaMizbeach. The stones of the Keves, that was the incline which went up to the altar, or the stones of the altar. V'vakas Beis Kerem. They would go to a certain place. V'cheifrim Lamata Mipsula. They'd go to a certain place, it was a quandary, where there they knew that people would not take stone from that place, and they would dig deep under the ground, further than anyone has dug, umivin misham avonim shlemus, and there they would bring stones that were totally complete, never cut, shalei hunaf alehem barzel, that no iron was ever used on them, shahabarzel pels pesel benegia begima, because barzel, iron, disqualifies the stone, even if it just nicks the stone, it disqualifies it. Behold over. Nifkema achas mehen hi psula bekulin kshedus. If one stone was scratched, nicked by the iron, so that stone is disqualified, but doesn't disqualify the entire mizbeach, the entire altar. The rest is still good. Umelavdin eson pa moim bashona, echad bepesach echad bechag, vahichel pa machas bepesach. And they would whiten the stones. And if they would whiten them with seed, seed was a type of concrete or cement, a lime, if they would whiten them with that, so then, lohoyu sodin say bekifa shel barzel. So they wouldn't use a metal tool to put, to whiten or to put the lime on, or the cement, shemayiga veifso, because maybe it would touch the stone and it would disqualify it. But they would use a wooden tool. Now, why can't you use metal? Shabazel nivro lekatzi yomim shel odom, because iron was created to shorten the lives of men. Iron, we must have. We use iron. We use it. Industry must have iron. The whole industrial revolution, which we are part of, uses iron. But we must realize that iron was created for war. Iron was created to kill. It's interesting to note that no wars can be fought without iron. And with all of our great war machinery, iron plays a central role. Once a university student told me, who was taking courses, studying courses in military warfare, that the military potential of a country was measured by their iron deposit availability. Bombs, whatever you want. Shaha. Barzel, iron was created lekatzer yom of shalotim, to shorten the life of man. Bamizbeach nivro laharich yomim shalotim, and the altar was created to lengthen the life of man, because the altar brings the person closer to Hashem through the chait, through sin. So he's removed from Hashem. Through sin he's removed from Hashem. And through the sacrifices on the altar, he's brought closer, he's brought back to Hashem. And this is the source of life. So, Eina bedin shiyoni famakatzel al amarich. So, therefore, it's not right that you should take something which is just the opposite of the altar. The altar is the essence life. And iron is essence destruction. So, it's not right that you should take something which is destructive and use it to make the altar. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if you want, you can make it out of stone. But Avonim Shleimus, they have to be complete stones. Leisonif aleihem barzel. Do not take a sword over it. Because if you will, you'll desecrate it. Now the Medrash goes a little deeper. The Medrash says in Parshas Lamed Hei, Os Hei, Medrash says something interesting. He says, you know, in all of the materials, there are 13 different materials which are chosen to use in the Mishkan here in the Parsha. There's gold and there's silver and there's copper and there's wool and there's linen and so forth and so on. He says, you won't find iron. Iron was not asked for. So the Medrash says like this, Zeisa truma asher tichu meitom zov kesev nechoshes. The only metals that we find is gold, silver, and copper. Azov, there were four great empires. And Daniel had a vision, and he saw each empire in the shape of a different monster, a different beast, and made of a different material. The first empire was Bovel. Bovel destroyed the Beis HaMikdash the first time. And he saw them as gold. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, still you can use gold for the sanctuary. The second one was Modai. Modai Pras, this was Syrian, Persian Empire. This is what took place. They wanted to destroy Israel during the time of Purim. He saw them as kesef, as silver. Still, like Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you can use silver for the Mishkan. Next, he saw the Greek Empire. These are the ones who desecrated the Beis HaMikdash during the time of Hanukkah. He saw them as nechoshes, copper. Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can use copper for them, for the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth empire is Esav, Edom, and he saw them barzel. He saw them as an iron beast. And why iron? Because by Esav it states, Al Harba Chotichya, you shall live by the sword. The sword is iron. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, iron you shall not use for my Beis HaMikdash. Avol Basel ein ksiv kan le'be migdash ve le'be mishkan. We don't find any mention of iron when it came to the building of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Mishkan. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want any remembrance. The sanctuary cannot have any identification with Esav. Esav is iron. Esav is war. Esav is destruction. Al-Khar b'chotichi, he shall live by the sword. The Roman Empire was the empire of destruction. Chazal tell us that the Roman Empire is still in existence. The whole Western world comes from the Roman Empire. The Nazis, Yimach Shemoh, come from the Roman Empire. The fact is, a person who's made a lifelong study, years and years, he studied about the Nazis and the Holocaust, told me that they emulated the Romans. Their salute and their hail and their uniforms emulated that of the Romans. And they used to have displayed in the highest military quarters or government quarters, they would have displayed the kings of Rome. And Hitler, Yimach Shemoh, he took his place amongst them. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, now, I don't want anything from Esav in the Beis HaMikdash. Because there was no one that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash like Esav. It says, Oro ad yesod bo. There was no one who completely annihilated it like Esav. And therefore, you won't find the mention of iron anywhere in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkun. And then the Midrash continues and states that L'osid Love in the world to come, after when the Mashiach comes, so it states, Shaila Melech, all of the nations of the world will come to bring duty, will come to bring gifts to the Melech HaMashiach, to the new king, because he'll be recognized and accepted throughout the whole world. Asidin lohovi deire lemelech HaMashiach. Mitzrayim, Egypt will come first. And Egypt will be hesitant because they'll think that maybe he won't accept from us because we were so evil to Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he will say to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept from me, Egypt, because Achsanya Nasa Livni, because even though you were so evil, but you were also good to them before that. Before, when they needed a place to live, when Yaakov needed a place and the children, you opened up Goshen for them. So accept from them. Then Cush will come. And Cush will say, we never did anything bad to Israel, like Egypt. And still, he accepted from them, so certainly he'll accept from us. So he accepts from Cush. Then Edom will come, Esav. And he'll say, those people are not even related to Israel, to Yaakov. I'm a brother of Yaakov. So he'll want to bring a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't accept. If you'll take iron into my Beis HaMikdash, you will desecrate my Beis HaMikdash. So here we have a deeper meaning. Iron represents war, represents death and destruction, and it represents Esav. Beis HaMikdash represents Yaakov. You can't have the hand of Esav, Achav v'Chotichya, by the cold Yaakov, where there's the voice of Yaakov. Both cannot be. So therefore, by the altar in particular, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we don't find that any material of iron was used in the materials of the Mishkan. But when it came to the altar, not even a stone which was cut by iron could be used. These are a few of the insights that the Chazal give us on this all-important keli, which was found in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio at ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.